The Free Library of Philadelphia is proud to present a podcast from our award-winning author events series, recorded live at the Parkway Central Library on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. To learn more about the Free Library, our unique and inspiring collections, and how your contribution can help our programs and services for the community, please visit freelibrary.org. Welcome to the Free Library of Philadelphia. My name is Andy Cahan, Director of Author Events. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that you're here because you really needed this today. Clearly, you are not alone. Our beloved guest was named co-host of the fourth hour of Today in 2007 and co-anchor of the flagship hour in 2018. She has also been a Dateline NBC correspondent since 1998 and is a New York Times best-selling author for her books. You could probably repeat them right now, Hoda and 10 Years Later, as well as her two children's books, I've Loved You Since Forever and You Are My Happy. The four-time Emmy Award winner has also been honored multiple times with the Alliance for Women in Media's Grace Award, as well as with the 2006 Peabody Award and the redoubtable 2002 Edward R. Murrow Award. As she writes in the introduction, if you have ever read a quote, nodded your head, and thought, I am not alone, this book is for you. Please welcome Hoda Kotb.
Okay. First of all, I'm shocked because I have never been here. I did not know what this room was. And I can't thank you enough for coming on a Friday on your lunch hour. You could be eating and you're here. You guys, thank you so much. This means the world to me that you came. Let me just look at you for a minute. Wait, can I see my phone for 1 second? Hold on. This is for Insta. Okay, hold on. Oh, here. Sorry. Thank you so much for coming. I'm so excited about this book, you guys. I felt like we needed something good in the world. And I was talking to my co-writer, Jane Lorenzini, who's my dear friend since we were in our 20s. I was in her wedding, she was in my wedding, and they both went down the toilet. But the point is that we stayed friends the whole way through. And we were talking about this concept, and every morning I wake up and I do a little journaling, like I'll write down three things I'm grateful for and something amazing that happened the night before. And one day I just started looking for a quote that kind of coincided with whatever was going on, and I would post it. And you know how you guys, you post something on your whatever, and you're like, oh, there it was, bye-bye. And then I started to go back and look at what the comments people were saying. And it was like, me too, that happened to me, this happened to my father, this happened to my mother. And all of a sudden, I was reading this and I said, wow, like we're all feeling the exact same things. So I thought, let me just see if we can put a book together. And I've had the good fortune of interviewing a lot of really cool and interesting people. And so there is always a quote that coincides. There's that Mary Oliver quote, what is it that you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Don't you love that? Like wild and precious. Like, do you ever think of your life that way? So she made me think of my, I know, me either. I know. Who said no? See, we'd be friends. No, I never, no. But Mary Oliver said those words, and it reminded me of Taraji P. Henson. I got the chance to interview Taraji one day, and she was telling me, she said, you know what? She said, Hoda, when I was in my 20s, I was in college, and I was pregnant. And everyone said, well, you're not going to be able to finish college. You know, you're pregnant. And she said, do you know what I did? And I said, what did you do? She said, I walked across that stage with a baby on my hip, and I collected my diploma. Then she was in her 20s, like 24, 25, 26, and she decided, she and her child, they were going to go to Hollywood because she wanted to be an actress. And everyone said, you're too old. You missed your window. And she goes, do you know what I did? She said, I went to Hollywood. She worked in diners and went for interviews, and she ended up collecting so many awards again. So what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Like, that reminded me of Taraji. I picked up People magazine this week, and it was Tyler Perry was on the cover. And I've had the chance to talk to him, and there's a quote that reminds me of him. Visualize your highest self and start showing up as that person. Tyler Perry tells the story of how he grew up in poverty, extreme poverty, and horrible abuse. His dad, apparently, he said, like, beat him with the cord of a vacuum cleaner so hard that he was bleeding on his back. And he would hide underneath his porch. He would just hide for hours and hours. And that's where he became kind of this creative guy. It was more of an escape. But he told me that when he lived in New Orleans, he was practically homeless. He said, Hoda, do you know what I used to do? And I said, what? He said, I would go to the fanciest neighborhoods, and I would look for open houses, and I would go inside. And I said, why? He said, because I wanted to see where I was going to live. And he said, I would go to the car lot and sit behind the wheel of a Mercedes-Benz, because I wanted to feel the car that I was going to drive. And I thought, visualize your best self. Like, that's what this guy did. By all accounts, he should not have been wildly successful. He had the worst childhood in the world, but he ended up emerging that way. And now, you know, you saw he's got that big, in Atlanta, he's got that big lot for all those movies and stuff, and he's a billionaire, and he's friends with Oprah. I mean, you know, friends with Oprah. But I think that one fits him perfectly. This one fits me. It's not too late. You're not too old. You're right on time. Sorry, I'm just tired because I'm sure it's hormonal, but it can't be because I'm 55. But anyway, it's got to be something. I'm going to say it again. It's not too late. You're not too old. You're right on time, and you're better than you know. I think I did, like, everything late in my life. Everything was late. I met Joel at 49, and at that point, I had been through, like, a crummy relationship, and I had gone through cancer, and so I was just so happy to have met such a nice, wonderful man. And I had, ever since I was younger, I wanted to have kids. Sometimes Haley's just like that. Don't worry. It's seriously, it's totally normal. Totally normal. But I always wanted to have children, but I was afraid to say it out loud because I don't know if you've ever really wanted something in your life. You almost, if you say it out loud, you almost feel like you're letting yourself down. If it's a secret, it's a secret. You know, no one has to know that you missed that part of your life. And I kept thinking, I should just be grateful anyway. Like, why do I keep wanting something more? And I remembered thinking, like, I have to talk to Joel about this. Like, I've wanted children my whole life. And Joel had, you know, a daughter who was in law school. Like, he'd already had that part of his life. And I still remember approaching him. And I said, I need to talk to you about something. And I said, and it's a big one, so I don't want you to answer right now. You know, I want you to, like, let it marinate, take some time, take a minute, take a week. He was like, his eyes were like as big as meatballs. He was like, oh God, this is my nightmare, whatever's about to happen. And I said, I've had these feelings and I just couldn't push them away anymore, so I'm just going to say it out loud. And I said, I would like to explore adoption with you. And he said, I don't need a minute. I know, I like cried on his chest. It was like a big mess. But in that moment, he told me how much he loved me, really, because, oh my God. Does anyone have Xanax? Or I'm sure it's in your purse. Look, oh my God, she's opening her purse. I swear, this is like the end of a week. You know how you get. I'm losing it. No, sir. Oh my gosh, are you? Oh, it's clean. She said, it's Kleenex, take the whole pack, is what she said. Thank you, thank you. Anyway, but he, in that moment, he said yes, and everything great has happened since I spoke it out loud. So it reminded me, like, when you have a, sometimes you have a secret, like, you want to go back to college, or you want to change jobs, or you want something, but you feel like it's too late, and you just say, well, I loved singing, but I can't really do it anymore, or there's no place I can do this professionally. But sometimes if you say it out loud, even to yourself, like even in a whisper, it just gives it life and legs. And I feel like that's kind of what happened with me. And ever since I said it out loud, like it, I felt like I was on the right path, like things kept happening. There's another quote that says, be grateful for the tiny details of your life and make room for unexpected blessings. I think sometimes we crowd our life so much with stuff. Do y'all have the girlfriend who is always talking to her ex-boyfriend on the phone, and she's like, why can't I meet anybody? You're like, because you're always with him. Like, you have to make room. You have to break up clean, bye, and then you have space for the thing to come in. And after we had talked about adopting Haley, we had a small spare room upstairs, and that was going to be Haley's nursery, or whichever child was coming to us. And Joel said, well, in the meantime, I've got an idea. Why don't I use that as my office? And then when the baby comes, well, I'll just get all my stuff out, you know, and then we'll, you know, we'll have the baby go in there. And I said, well, we can't. And he was like, what? What is wrong with you? I go, we can't. I said, we have to have room. We have to be ready. You've got to clear space sometimes for things. And sometimes I feel like that actually opens the world up to you. And 2 months later, we got the phone call that she was coming. And if anyone here has ever adopted a child, like the moment you get the phone call is literally like witnessing a live birth. It's the most incredible thing in the world. You fill out paperwork and you just go about your life. And I still remember I was sitting in my office, I was writing something, and Joy Bauer was doing a FaceTime about, you know, food. It was literally like I was in another world. And on my phone, it said, it rang and it said, Ashley Project. I called it the Project so no one would know, you know, what was going on, basically. And Ashley always said to me, if my number ever shows up on your phone, you should call me immediately because I'm going to have some news for you. So I'm sitting there working. My phone buzzes. It says, Ashley Project. My heart, it's like a text. She says, call me. So my heart is pounding. I hang up on Joy. Sorry. Anyway, and I pulled out a yellow pad, and I looked at the clock, and I wrote down 11:56. A.M. Like I knew in that moment, everything was going to change. It was going to be before that. Everything was going to be defined by before that moment and after, right then. And I wrote down everything I was feeling and thinking, and I called Ashley, and she said, she's here. She's here. Like beautiful words. Glad you gave me the whole pack. This is not how I imagined this talk going at all, at all. Okay. There's a quote I love, and it's called, today I want you to think about all that you are instead of all that you're not. I was watching this TED Talk, and there was a story of a young girl named Gillian Lynn back in the 30s, and she was in school, and the teacher called her mother and said, your daughter has issues. I don't know what is going on with her, but she can't calm down. She disrupts the whole class. She has some kind of maybe psychiatric issues. I don't know, but she needs to go see a doctor. And her mom, you know, took Gillian out of school, went to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist was visiting with the young girl. Mom was waiting outside. And he said to the young girl, just wait here for a second. I'm going to go talk to your mom. And before he left, he turned on the radio. And, you know, Gillian could never sit still, never. So he walks outside and he says to the mom, just wait a second and let's watch what goes on inside. So the music's going, the little girl gets up and she starts twirling around and dancing. And he stopped and he said, "Oh, Miss Lynn, your daughter's not sick. She's a dancer. Put her in dance class." So she entered her in dance class. This young girl ended up on performing with the Royal Ballet. She's the choreographer for Cats and Phantom. Another doctor may have said, "Give your kids some meds and tell her to calm down." But they ended up finding the best part of her. Today I want you to think about all that you are instead of all that you are not. And they focused on that for Jillian Lynn. And now, you know, it's just such a cool story. And I'm going to wrap because I really want to sign your books and answer a couple of your questions. But sometimes just a little random act of kindness is so important. And there's a generic quote that says, always be a little kinder than necessary. I went to my apartment and I got into the elevator and there was this sort of weird looking girl in the elevator. I mean, she had on like a hat that was almost pulled down over her eyes. She had like Oscar the Grouch eyes on it. I didn't know what was going on, but she had cupcakes in her hand and they were like, they smelled so good. And I said, "Wow, your cupcakes smell great." And she said, "Yeah, they're salted caramel." And I was like, "Oh God, there's nothing better than that." I mean, I was just making small talk, you know, I wasn't thinking anything. So she gets off at her floor and I go off to mine and I forgot about it. The next day I go to my doorman and he says, "Oh, there's a little box for you." And there was a note that said, "Hi, I was the girl with the Oscar the Grouch hat on in the elevator. You were admiring the cupcakes, but those were all spoken for. I had a little extra time, so I went to Brooklyn and brought these for you." Right? I never forgot it. And it was like some random awesome person who went out of her way. And so it just reminded me that that's something we can all do. It takes 1 second. Like if we all walked out here today and did something for somebody, and then that person did something for somebody. I mean, it takes one little, tiny, small thing. So always be a little kinder than necessary. Okay, I want to answer a couple of questions, but I think I lost the cards. Do y'all have them? They're here? Oh, sorry. I know your other speakers have their stuff together much more than I do. I'd like to say I'm sorry. Okay. Looking back at your career, this is from Shira. Hi, look at you in the front row. Hey, girl. Looking back at your career, what do you wish you knew then that you know now? Anything you would do differently? I got my very first job at a like MapDOT station in Greenville, Mississippi, and I was not talented and didn't have any skills at that point. I was just not very good. The thing I'm glad I didn't know was I'm glad no one told me the odds of making it. I think if someone had told me the odds, like what I would have to do or how many things I'd have to go through, I don't know that I would have stayed on the path as aggressively as I did. I think the great thing about being young is you don't know. Of course you can do it. Like that's what I feel. Of course you can. What do you want to do? She wants to be happy. Oh my God. Well, see, then they always say that thing, find out what you love and figure out how to get paid for it. So literally, that's really all you need to do in life. But I think it is if you really love something, then don't let someone tell you that you can't do it. Because in my profession, people quit all the time because it's hard. You have to work every holiday. You don't make any money for years and years, and you can barely pay your bills. But the good thing about people quitting is open road. Open road, roadkill, everyone get out of the way, I'm coming through, and that's what happens, it really does. So if you hang in, people get tired, you just have to last longer. That's really all I did, I lasted longer than those other people. Okay, do you still run? I run cross country. Wait, is there a 7-year-old girl here? What's her name? Liviana, Liviana, you run cross country? You're 7? Wow. When I run, it looks like walking, okay? But I try really hard. I bet you're an awesome runner, Liviana. How do you run a lot every day? Yes, she's so cute. Thank you, Liviana. Okay. In the world of journalism, which can typically be negative, okay, yes, yes it is. What are some of the things you do to stay positive? I just try, I'm really picky about what I let in anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I used to go to scary movies, and I used to, like, read stuff that made me feel not great. I used to scroll thinking that somehow I was going to feel a little better reading the next thing, or, oh, look at their Insta story. Wow, bacon and eggs. Like, it doesn't make you feel better, really. So I decided to only let good things in, or I tried to. I mean, look, I do the news on the Today Show, so between 7 and 9, you know, I don't have much of a choice. But throughout the rest of my day, I make my choices, and they're important to me. Like, and I also try really hard to live in tiny moments. Like, I went to pick up Haley from school yesterday, and I walked in her school, and she screamed, "My mom's here!" And she literally jumped 5 feet 9 inches tall into my arms. And normally I would hug her, but then I'd be like, "Where's your coat? Let's get your coat. Where's the highway?" You know, you're always like getting stuff. And I just held her. I just decided to stop rushing everything. You know, she'll declare on the street to a stranger, like, "I have pockets." And I used to be like, "Great, great, okay, come on, she has pockets." Now I'm like, "She has pockets. Wow, it's amazing." But like, so I try hard to sit in the tiny little moments instead of rushing everything. I'm known for rushing things, so I've been trying really hard to sit in little tiny moments. Y'all, I love you for coming out. I can't believe you did. I'm going to sign every book. I'm taking every picture. And I'm going to personalize. So, and go Hokies. I see you in the front row. Go Hokies. Love y'all. Thank you. And thank you for the, you were so sweet. Do you want a back? I only used two.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Free Library of Great Conversations. If you live in Philadelphia or are planning a visit and would like to attend an author event, information on the series is available at freelibrary.org/authorevents.